Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to a Sunday edition of the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Today's date is the 16th day of July, 2006. Great to have you here with me today. We are a bit under the gun here with world events, and things are starting to progress quite quickly in the direction of is genocide, mayhem, and new elements to the world domination of Zionism this is even not right to say world Jewry, but they're not Jews, these folks. We've proven that in our broadcast that these are Khazarians. But anyway, they've got a messianic type of plan that they've put into motion here. And one of the researchers that we've had on many, many times in the past months, Christopher Jean Burkus, I'm sorry, Christopher, has been on with us and doing research on these very subjects. And I think right now is the most important moment in world history, in human history, to get these facts into as many people's hands as possible. There is no time to waste. The French Connection is known worldwide now for having an audience of opinion shapers and opinion makers. And what we need desperately right now, ladies and gentlemen, is to have you wrap your time around these facts and share them with as many important people as you possibly can. So I'm going to bring up my guest right away. Christopher, are you with me?
I'm here.
Well, Chris, it's great to have you back on the French Connection and looking into these facts. What I thought we'd talk about today, you've got a book out that goes into a lot of detail about the way they've manipulated the world into the mess we're in. But that's not necessarily what we're going to discuss today. What I wanted to discuss was world events and how your research has shown their plans. In other words, you've been digging into these people's planning for a very long time, and the things they're doing right now are no surprise to you, are they?
No. In fact, what they're doing right now is they are carrying out the plans which are spelled out in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. They are trying to artificially orchestrate the war against Gog and Magog by attacking the people to the north, which will then result in a broader war between Israel and Syria and Iran. In fact, I was listening to Wolf Blitzer today on CNN, and I heard him say Syria and Iran more times than he said Lebanon.
So basically, they're ramping this up. And for new listeners, let's first discuss the fact that our media is entirely and completely owned and operated by this group, except for a little outposts like the French Connection and some others. But by and large, even the alternative press is in their hands. Am I wrong?
I would suspect so. And it's very important for them to maintain control over the press because they only have 5 million people in Israel. And what they're doing is so heinous that if the truth were to be exposed, the whole world would stand against them.
Well, I asked you in a private part of this conversation we're having who in the world is not with these people? And your response actually didn't surprise me, but it did. You said the people of the world aren't with them. And I never thought about that. What my question I was looking for, my answer I was looking for is what government? Well, the fact is probably most, if not all, governments are in some way complicit in this this terrible crime against all humans. But the people themselves are not with these people, are they?
No, they're not. And that is the method that Judaism prescribes for them to carry out their plan, is to gain control of all the governments and all the information in the world and to only put forward their agenda and to exclude all other voices.
Well, they've been successful to this point, but there is a backlash that's been built here. And let's discuss these recent events and why Olmert and why was Sharon marginalized and then killed off? And was he the guy that was supposed to pick up the reins and do this next push, or was that in your view, was he already slated for this job?
I'm certain that he was. And I'm certain that the events, which triggered is the wrong word, but the sequence of events was that they were going to trap the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip in a ghetto and then slowly starve them to death and strangle them and show the world their power. And you notice that the whole world remains silent while these people are being tormented and mass murdered. And then they were going to use that as an attempt to provoke Syria and Iran to attack Israel, and they staged the kidnapping, what they call the kidnapping of an Israeli, and when that failed in Gaza, they carried out the same plan in Lebanon. And that
so basically what you're saying is that they will do false flag operations until their press has pushed the idea that it's all the fault of the surrounding countries and nothing to do with them. But we know that they've been perpetrating false flag operations all the way back into Abu Nidal's time. And, you and I both remember the Munich Olympics. And what we know today from a lot of information that's been disclosed was that was a big setup.
Well, their leaders have often stated that if only they could pay an Arab $1 million to attack Israel, they could fulfill all their messianic plans to destroy the Arab people. They are the terrorists. They are the genocidal maniacs who want to kill off these people who have done nothing to them.
Well, in your view,
broader than that, this is what they are taught by their religion. Their religion.
Right, and what specifically the Ezekiel passage does give the present movement of this plan they've got. What led up to that Ezekiel plan? What in Scripture and what in the Bible brought them to that Ezekiel passage where they go up against Gog and Magog?
The Babylonian captivity. They wanted to exact revenge upon the world for what had happened to them. But what's really underlying all of it is racism. And the only way that they could prevent Jews from assimilating into other peoples was to kill off all the other peoples. And that is the plan that is spelled out in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it is the prophetic plan of Isaiah that all of humanity must perish so that there is no chance for the Jews to assimilate into the lower peoples who they consider to be cattle.
Now, this is there truth in the fact that the people that are perpetrating this are actually Ashkenazis and in fact not pure Semites and not even the group described so clearly in the Bible?
Absolutely.
So this is basically just a bunch of malarkey.
Well, it would be malarkey regardless of that, but yes, that's certainly true. And in addition to that, Christians have been duped into not only believing that these are the authentic tribes of the Israelites, and the 12 tribes have never, never been regathered back into Israel as was prophesied. Revelations itself says that the battle with Gog and Magog will be post-millennial, which means 1,000 years after Christ returns. So these Christians are fools who have been fooled into destroying themselves for the sake of people who hate them. Now, the Americans are in a very precarious situation because what the designs that Israel are carrying out will trap the American forces in Iraq between Syria and Iran. And I suspect that what they're going to do is they will next attack Syria, which will provoke Iran to attack the American forces, and they will use that as a pretext to launch a nuclear strike against Iran and say, see, we're the great heroes who have saved the United States. But in fact, what they are doing by their heinous actions is jeopardizing the lives of not only the soldiers in America, but of all humanity.
Well, it looks like, and we discussed this as well, the possibility of using tactical nuclear weapons, which that theater has already discussed it at very, very high levels within the Pentagon. There are a lot of military men who've actually left the service because they thought what was being discussed around them was madness. And some of them have come out and spoken out about the madness, and they've been marginalized by a lot of people. But the fact is, this discussion is not new to American military, is it?
No, the NATO had plans for neutron bombs should the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact launch a tank ground war against Western Europe. They had contingency plans to respond with neutron weapons because they lacked corresponding tank forces to repel that force. And they will utilize those arguments and those philosophies against the Iranians. But we have to look at the broader picture. What deals have the Israelis made with the Russians, with the Indians, with the Chinese? Because Pakistan is another nation right up against Iran, and who knows what will happen with them, and they also have nuclear weapons. Now, these...
Well, is there any guarantee that Iran can't get their hands on a couple of devices?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Israelis were to supply them with them and to use them against the American forces in Iraq. These people are not out for peace. These people are out for war and bloodshed. And they have been out for war and bloodshed for 2,500 years. That is the only reason that the Jews have kept themselves segregated from the rest of humanity, is so that they can conduct this war against humanity in the name of God and in the name of peace. Because they're told at the end of this war, when they have killed all of us off, that there will be everlasting peace for them, and God will create for them a new heaven and a new earth in which they will have a restored flesh and a new spirit. And these people are carrying this out deliberately and persistently, and they will...
Well, I mean, the leadership knows darn well that these aren't even Jews that are doing most of this. They're Ashkenazis, and they were tribal Khazarians, and then they had a Kagan and all this stuff. How do they square the circle of not being part of the racial Jewish mix? Because I know there are... See, we've talked to some reasonable voices about this subject, and they said, well, there may be some Jewish blood peppered in there because they were Jewish rabbis in the communities, and they did intermarry and whatnot. But you said that could be also true for any of the Christians that are out there. I mean, I could have in my past some blood of Judaism, or you could, or everybody could. The fact of the matter is, these people, if you examine their argument, it's a lie from start to finish. So what is the real reason for these leadership doing this? They're not even doing it in the name of biblical prophecy.
The reason is that the very wealthiest among the Jews want to become the Messiah. And they are duty-bound as Messiah to conduct a war against humanity. They are duty-bound to judge the Gentiles, to enslave them, and then to kill them. And they have been carrying that out for thousands of years. The Messiah to the Jews is a political figure. He is the King of the Jews. Messiah means anointed, and the anointed one is the King. Now, the Rothschilds in the 1800s declared that they sought to become the King of the Jews, and they proposed the idea that they would buy Palestine. But the Jews did not want to go to Palestine. So they had to create two world wars, both to take Palestine from the indigenous peoples, to weaken all the governments in the area so they could not respond, and also to terrorize the Jews, to force them to flee to Palestine. Now, all these things are a deliberate action by these monsters to fulfill these horrific genocidal prophecies which constitute Judaism. And people are blind to it because the Christians believe that these are divine prophecies, and they have been deceived as to what the Gospels themselves say.
Now, what do the Gospels themselves say? And you alluded to it in a previous statement, but let's spell it out here for our listeners, where their version varies from Gospel, so the Christians can actually do some homework here and say, well, look, yes, he's right. And first of all, you can't look through your Scofield Bible to get the truth, can you?
No, the Scofield Bible was a deliberate attempt to subvert Christianity, but it was one of many. The Kabbalistic Jews spread themselves out throughout Europe from the 1400s onwards in an attempt to subvert Christianity and to lead Christians to believe that the times of the Gentiles would end and that the Gentiles would have to surrender their lives in God's divine plan to restore the Jews as the chosen people of God. Now, that is not what is spelled out in the Gospels and in the Pauline letters and in Peter and in Revelations. What is spelled out there is that Jesus Christ will return, and it is Jesus Christ who will judge people, and that there will be a great spiritual revival of all the peoples of the world. Christianity is a universalist religion. It says that there are no longer Jews, that all peoples have been grafted in, and that all they need do is believe in Jesus Christ. They don't need to be Ashkenazis. They don't need to be Sephardim. And they should not be killing each other. There should be a human family that loves each other and strives for peace. Now, that beautiful message has been twisted by these evil people into a message that we must all kill one another so that the Jews can reign over the earth. And believe it or not, there are many Christians who are stupid enough to fall for that deception.
Well, they have fallen for it. We've got 30, 40 million of them in America alone, and probably double that number in the world. So what is our tactic here for enlightening at least a portion of them? I don't think we'll get very deep into their community because they'll just think that we're... They'll say, oh, they're coming from the devil or something. I mean, I don't know what they'll come up with, but some kind of nonsense like that. But how do we get rational people to start wrapping their beliefs around what we've been able to discover here, Christopher?
We have to get people in the streets talking to their family and friends, their neighbors, to other people, and saying, look, this little nation of 5 million people wants to provoke a world war to kill off all of us. And that we have the right and the duty to defend ourselves from this threat. And that these people have corrupted our mass media and corrupted our government and have installed psychopaths who are willing to deceive them and to carry out this plan against them. And it's a real danger, and it is unfolding itself. And those Christians who believe that prophecy is being fulfilled by God are deceiving themselves. Prophecy is being fulfilled by not being fulfilled, being subverted by evil people who want to use these beautiful messages as a means, as a bait in a trap to get people to kill one another off. And that should raise some red flags in people's eyes.
Well, it certainly does in my mind. And here's the interesting thing that I see. I mean, Jesus does not talk about going out and murdering, maiming, and injuring. And basically what he says is that we need to spread joyous messages and have people come together under a banner of peace and tranquility. And see, now, that's not the message you get in the Old Testament. And see, in fact, the Old Testament to me seems like one a mass of murder and mayhem and wars and death and firstborns and Christ, when you read the thing, it's just about how one group murders another group over and over with different names. And I'm wondering, how do we go from an Old Testament where, you know, the jawbone of an ass slaughters tens of thousands, and you know, and then all of a sudden Christ comes and says, look, that's all a sickness, and what we really need is harmony and peace. Christ never said we needed to kill each other to get to harmony and peace, did he?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So these people are not in any way following any of Christ's teaching if they're supporting people who are using murder and mayhem as a means to bring forward any kind of messianic ending.
It's as plain as day that these are evil forces who are pushing for war and bloodshed.
Yep.
And human sacrifice.
Yep.
And it's human sacrifice for their own sake and no one else's. They are selfish, mad, sick people in the land of Israel. 5 million sick races who want to bring humanity into a world war. Now, how can that be Christian? And where is Jesus? If they believe that this is the end times in the millennial era and that they will be raptured, where is Jesus? And how far down the road of war and mayhem do we have to go before these morons realize that they have not been raptured up and that they themselves are a major part of the problem?
Well, wasn't the whole concept of rapture something that was invented by Judeo kind of fiat and writing? And in other words, there's no rapturing about... I mean, what is the rapture thing here? How does that get tied into this? And where in the scriptures does it come in? And how are they misreading it?
What it is the idea that God, in certain parts in the Bible, I believe with Noah, says that he is lifted up into heaven and doesn't really die. And that was corrupted into the idea that when the tribulations come, when the final horrific war happens, anyone who is a good Christian will be raptured up into heaven and will not be subject to the horrors that take place on the earth. Now, these selfish people who delight in the fact that Jesus Christ was sacrificed for them, they would never sacrifice themselves for Jesus, also delight in the fact that all of us are going to be killed in a horrific war because we don't share the same beliefs as they do. And they are deliberately and desperately and eagerly trying to bring that war about. And they are sick and they are dangerous and they are a real threat that we have to face. And we cannot face it in a childish way by taking what they say seriously. We have to fight against this madness, and these Israeli racists are so sick that they use these beliefs against all of humanity to try to bring this horrific thing to culmination. And they are in the process of doing it, and Lebanon is the first step. Well, the first step was humiliating and tormenting the Palestinians whom they have trapped in Gaza. And the world is silent on it. And that has to raise a red flag to people that the world governments and the world press have been corrupted by these monsters.
Yeah, yeah. And I am in agreement with you on all these points. And this is what my research has found. This is what Eustace Mullins has been talking about and Ezra Pound and people before us. This is the same megalomaniac planning that Ben Friedman alludes to and many others. In other words, we're not coming up with this idea in a vacuum, Christopher. We know that there is a long history of this that has actually been exposed, and yet it's never been able to get traction, the facts. And the facts right now are absolutely imperative that we spread them, because these people are, in fact, looking to take us all out. I agree with that. I think it's pretty clear to me at this point. How in the world are we going to get this message out further afield? Because you and I both know we are in a marginal position here on the internet. I mean, it has to be a priority in every single person's life that hears this to begin explaining to people around them the very dire nature of these facts. Because if we can't get them to wrap themselves into it, we are goners.
People have to grow up, look at their own lives, determine what they want for themselves and what they want for their families. Now, do they want economic collapse in the United States, world war, nuclear war, just so that these 5 million racists in Israel can declare themselves as the divine people of God? That's insanity.
It is.
And
now what families? I mean, I've made a list in my mind here. I'll give you a couple of names. I'll throw them out there. I've got Honig in Austria. I've got Oppenheimer in South Africa and in Britain. I've got Warburg and Schiff and of course Rothschild and Kahn and Loeb and Goldman. Now, what other people are involved at the highest level of this mess, and who do you think is really at the pinnacle of these decisions?
What we have to do is go back and trace out the Rothschild line and the heirs to these fortunes and find out where that money went, because where the money goes is where the power is. Nobody with power is going to let go of their money. And the Rothschilds were very clever about making sure that they never encountered any competition from fellow Jews, from governments of the world, even from empires. They always outclassed governments and empires and their fellow Jews in their fortunes and in their political intrigues. And they have always been able to shatter empires and ruin nations economically through war, debt, and centralized banking. And I am very concerned that they are propagating messages through their agents in the United States of America to collapse our economy. They are using the bait of pointing out the fact that the Federal Reserve System is a corrupt system, but they are not proposing reforms which will enable the American people to govern their own destiny. They are proposing reforms through their agents who are using the bait of the idea that they are going to fight against this evil force to carry out the designs of that evil force. And they are going to try to trap us into going into a gold standard, into refusing to pay our federal income taxes, into all other kinds of disastrous policies which will ruin us. We have to gain control of our government through reasonable, political, slow transitions. We should not allow these people to make us so desperate through wars and economic hardships that we surrender all our rights to them, because they will institute a Bolshevik-style dictatorship that will crush us.
Now, here's the interesting thing. We've got a guy named Aaron Russo putting out a movie, and he's got connections to Walper and to all of the top Zionists in Hollywood. And it seems to me that his Federal Reserve movie is exactly the idea that you're putting forward right now.
Well, what will it produce? What great thing will destroying the Federal Reserve, putting America on the gold standard, and coaxing people to not pay their taxes produce for America? How is that a panacea? How is that a fix? And who will profit from it? Who owns most of the gold? Who controls the Federal Reserve? Who is going to manage all the transactions and profit from them? Who's going to gain all the commissions? Will there be laws, as there have been in the past, which set the value of the gold that Americans hold? Will Americans be forced at gunpoint to surrender their gold?
Well, let me ask you this, Christopher. You'd probably listen to, I hope you did listen to Bill Murphy's GATA interview we did, talking about the manipulation of the gold price and how it was kept artificially low for a long period of time. And now what's happening is they're ramping up interest in gold so that people can, maybe the buzz about switching over to a gold standard is being fixed in that ramping up, along with the Russo, who is a Zionist without a question in my mind, ramping up the vitriol against the Federal Reserve. And in other words, what I'm seeing and what the facts on the ground all say exactly what you're saying right now, that the gold that was in Fort Knox has been confiscated. It's been taken out, and that's what Bill Murphy
said.
That's
why the gold prices have been kept low, so that the gold can be hoarded. But they are
then
using the opinion makers in the Patriot movement and in other movements to spread the myth that the gold standard is the way we should go, and they are luring them into this because many of these people wisely hold gold, and I have nothing against people holding gold. It seems to be a smart thing to me. But it is not a smart thing to think that if by going on the gold standard we force gold up to $5,000 an ounce, that these people are going to get rich, because they're not. The government is going to mandate a set price for gold and demand that they turn in their gold. And it will be the foreign Jewish bankers who sell their gold to the U.S. government, much of it gold that they've effectively stolen from the American people. They will be the ones getting $5,000 an ounce. Americans will be lucky to recoup what they have in their gold investment, and very lucky if they don't take tragic losses, but they will down the road take tragic losses, because that will give these people absolute control over our money supply, and all they have to do is call in all the gold and we have no money supply.
Well, here's the other side of this as well.
This
all central banks of Western Europe, including the German Bundesbank and including the French central bank, you know, even though they're under the control of the ECB, which is a Rothschild Federal Reserve type of organization, Jewish controlled, the fact of the matter is that all these central banks have been selling their gold, Christopher, wholesale and been dumping it on the world markets. Now, I'm guessing that these same forces have bought up this cheap gold.
Absolutely. You can bank on it, so to speak.
And so when this stuff goes from 300 an ounce up to 5,000, that 1,000%, that 2,000% increase is going to go right in the pockets of these criminals, and they're going to use the leverage of that increase to subjugate entire worlds, entire governments.
It's not only important to them to garner the wealth of the world unto themselves, it's also important to them to ruin other peoples. They view themselves at perpetual war with the Gentiles, and they utilize finance as a means of ruining other peoples and keeping them from progressing and keeping them from ever posing a threat. Now, in Jewish messianic prophecy, the Jews must have a world government which is ruled by the Jewish king out of Jerusalem. Now, that means that the American people must be enslaved. Now, you have Jews dancing around like madmen in Israel, chanting, Moshiach, 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 Moshiach. They believe the Messiah is among us. And to them, that means they rule the world, they ruin the Gentiles, then they exterminate the Gentiles. And when they have accomplished these things, they believe that God will provide them with a new earth, a new body, and a new spirit. And they believe it. And they are trying to bring it about. And at present, the means that they're trying to bring it about is by deliberate, artificial, political action to fulfill the plan set forth in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. And people who read that will see that they want to eat the flesh and drink the blood of their enemies. And they want to decimate the Muslims who have done nothing to them and who for more than 1,000 years protected them and allowed them to engage in trade, to fatten themselves at the expense of the Muslims. And this is how they will return that kindness, by obliterating them. And we are
could you explain the Gog and Magog, and who are these two groups, and in populations in today's terms?
Well, it's the way they interpret it, I think, is the proper way to interpret it, because that's the madness that we face. But there are various interpretations, and the writings themselves are nebulous. The way they have interpreted it is that they will attack their enemy to the north, which is Lebanon.
Right.
That will lead to a war with Syria, a war caused by them through their terrorism and through their unprovoked attacks, through their inhumanity, through their barbarity. This is the third time that they have destroyed Lebanon, which was the most beautiful country in the region. Beirut was a beautiful city.
They called it the Venice on the Mediterranean, didn't they?
Yes. I heard the Riviera on the Mediterranean.
The Riviera, yeah.
And this was a wonderful, happy society that had a large Christian population and a large Muslim population who lived together in peace and harmony for centuries. These are wonderful people that these sick Israeli racists are murdering for no reason other than their own madness.
Well, and there are a lot of people our age, Christopher, who remember the writings of Khalil Gibran, a Christian from Lebanon, who talked about the Bekaa Valley and the beautiful mountains and if you can't help but be struck by how beautiful Lebanon is in his descriptions. This man's idea of the world, of course, is quite spiritual, and I have to wonder for a moment what Gibran would think about what's going on around him now in his homeland.
The only way to describe it is evil. Evil directed at innocent people. You don't see in the news media the fact that many of these people are Christians. They not only destroyed their infrastructure and are in the process of destroying their homes, they have caused them to be in civil wars where Christians and Muslims were fighting with each other when that didn't happen before they interfered and brought it about. And they are so clever now with this black pope and Jesuit garbage that they are trying to create a war between Catholics, Protestants, and Muslims by falsely accusing the Catholics, Protestants, and Muslims of trying to create a war between Muslims and Jews. It's vicious. It's venal. These people are sick and evil racists who want to bring about war after war after war.
Well, you know, here's the thing that really knocks me for a loop here. The Palestinians also have a very large Christian population that most people don't know about. And the city of Bethlehem, I think it's as high as 40% of the people living there are still practicing Christians. In fact, many of the deaths over the last two or three decades in Palestine have been Christian murders by the Jews. And we're finding the same thing in Lebanon as we speak. And ultimately, you're talking about Syria. Now, one of the persons that was recently murdered, and they had to get rid of him because he was a very popular figure. He was not in their pocket. He was gaining momentum in his popularity. His name was Harari. And, of course, they did a false flag operation to murder him. And if you take a look at the research Christopher Bolin did on Harari's murder, you'll understand right away, in light of what we've discussed, that this man was gaining a lot of support in countries outside of Lebanon for his stand against many things. And he needed to be eliminated.
And they pinned it on Syria, did they not?
Yes, they did, didn't they?
And,
yes, they did.
Syria is the real target. They're going after Syria and they're going after Iran. And what they want to do is pin down our troops between those two forces so that they can justify bringing America into it. And I also suspect that they are going to do some false flag terrorist thing, probably in Paris or one of the European cities, to get the European public to go along with it. And people have to realize that this is not the fulfillment of prophecy. These are not coincidental events. These are plans which are orchestrated and agreed upon between corrupted governments and which are kept from being exposed by a corrupt press and by political murders.
And how many humble, you know, what I've been able to figure out, and this is interesting because you might have seen on our website where I called for having the Jews out of the 9/11 investigation. I actually, Eric and I put together an article about saying that that we don't know which Jews are involved in obfuscating and which ones aren't. And so for sake of getting rid of the bad guys involved in this movement, we should have them all be removed. And I don't think that's a bad stand. Do you?
I do, and I think it's ineffectual because you can't carry it out, and I wouldn't want you to be able to carry it out. And I think it would lead to a false sense of security where there would be no security. What needs to happen is all voices need to be heard, and those voices which are spewing lies need to be exposed. And it is not a crime to be Jewish, and not all Jews are part of this racist, hateful, genocidal warmongering.
Certainly they're not, and I'm glad you brought that up because I say that without hesitation that the Jews that I know, Christopher, are not like this. In fact, they are dupes, as the Christian Zionists are dupes. They don't have any interest in living in Palestine, and maybe they do feel a connection there based upon the propaganda they've been fed throughout their lives. But by and large, they're kind, loving people. In fact, my experience with many Jews in my New York 10-11 years was that they are very generous and giving and kind, and I have to have that said now because these people are being swept up in the middle of this nightmare, and if there is any blowback, they may have to run for the hills as a result, and they did nothing.
And the blowback is planned by those who want to send them to Palestine against their will. But what amazes me is the large contingent of Jews in the media who are psychopaths, who are willing to lie to the American people out of a sense of tribalism and racial unity, which is terrible. And it goes against the very fine Jews who have long opposed those terrible attitudes. And it is growing. And I suspect that the Jewish bankers who have fomented all this horror always knew that they would be able to to manipulate the psychology of Jewish people so that they would return to these genocidal racist attitudes which are inherent in Judaism itself and are pervasive in Judaism and are ultimately the only reason that Judaism exists. It is it's a self-perpetrating, perpetuating racist belief system. And American Jews quickly broke out of it. But they are being forced back into it by psychopaths.
Mm.
Leave them with no option.
Now some of the media people, of course, we got Zuckerman and we've got Sumner Redstone, whose name is, I forgot it. Anyway, he's a Maury Rubenstein, I think, or something. And we've got people like Edgar Brofman, and of course, all of these different people across America's media at the very top are hardcore Zionists, aren't they?
Well, look at the messages that the media is sending the American people. The messages that the media is sending the American people is that the Lebanese people have conducted an unprovoked attack on Israel. They make no mention of the fact that the Israeli racists have been oppressing the Palestinians for more than half a century and are now in the process of committing genocide against them, and the whole world is silent. Now, if you are in Lebanon and you are in Syria and you know you are next, what are you going to do? Why don't they have any sense of fairness, any sense of equity, any sense of honesty in this matter? It has to be racial bias. It has to be racism. They had nothing to gain by any of this. They had nothing to gain by creating the State of Israel other than to fulfill messianic prophecies so that whoever it is at the top can claim to be king of the world and to have fulfilled the beautiful blossom of Judaism, which is the death of humanity.
Now, Christopher, you know, there has been one leader that has come out in Europe, and he's terribly unpopular in his own country, the country I'm in. His name is Jacques Chirac. Chirac has said that what's going on in Lebanon is an atrocity, and he said that it's an act of war, what Israel's doing. And, of course, you might well guess that he has never been so unpopular in France because the rest of the media has just lambasted him throughout his last couple of years. And, in fact, Chirac has been at odds with a lot of world leaders. I'm wondering if he's only partially on board with them or is he just you playing a foil? Or I wonder sometimes because he puts himself in the middle of people throwing, you know, crap all over him. And, of course, the press treats him like a pariah. And, of course, he's also fighting with almost outwardly with Bush and the rest of them. I'm wondering if he's not entirely on board with these people.
It's difficult to say, and that's why I suspected that the next false flag operation would take place in Paris in response to his reluctance to engage in this barbarity in the Middle East. But France has a very long history itself in colonialization of Algiers and in assisting Israel in its development of nuclear weapons.
Well, didn't they train? Didn't the French are the ones who initially trained the Mossad?
I suspect so, and I suspect it grew out of their barbarity against the people of Algiers when they were trying to suppress the Free Algiers movement. And also our involvements in Vietnam grew out of that, and our barbarity in Vietnam grew out of that. It was colonialism at its worst, and France is still suffering for it.
So there may be some lone voices out there, and of course, being as unpopular as Jacques is right now, it's not hard to marginalize him in the eyes of the public because he's been demonized in such horrendous ways that, he's rotten with corruption. But is he really? I don't know anymore because you know he's the only guy standing up right now. I mean, everybody else is sitting in the background.
And
this guy's the only one that said anything. He said this is horrendous. This is an act of war. What they're doing.
And I'm
thinking to myself, wow, boy, Jacques, you got some chestnuts there to do that, and he's the only one. Or are they just leaving him out there to be the unpopular lone voice? And is this still a setup? See, you never know, Christopher. You gotta use your stomach on these things, don't you?
Yes.
Got to use your sixth sense about it.
And the situation is complicated because France has an antagonistic Muslim population within it that. Mossad agents or able to infiltrate and to create false flag operations and to create an animosity between Christian French and Muslim French.
Well, they've been doing that under the interior minister named Nicolas Sarkozy, who is a Zionist Jew. And he's been fomenting terrible discord in the French public and ratcheting up things and making very, very, I just no other way to say it, racist statements against Muslims. He calls them rakai, which means, filthy dirtbags. And it's unbelievable some of the vitriol that comes out of the interior ministry. And this is the guy in charge of the police departments here, which is frightening for me because I'm sitting in the country that this guy has the police control.
And then they work it the other way, and they have people say Salah Juif or whatever it is, dirty Jew, and they get everybody all hyped up and paranoid instead of working progressively to benefit humanity. France is a very good case study in that. But what we have before our very eyes right now is terrible. What is unfolding in Lebanon, this barbaric, unprovoked slaughter, this destruction, and you know what they're setting up is that the Lebanese are fleeing into Syria, and then they're going to say Hezbollah has fled to Syria, and they're going to use that as a justification to attack targets in Syria, which they will say they know to be Hezbollah targets, and in they go. And the world is silent on it. The world is largely silent on it. And that has to be a red flag to people. Why is it in all other wars we strive for peace? Why isn't the Pope out there trying to defend these Maronite Christians who are loyal to the Pope? Why is there no one coming to the defense of these people who are being degraded, who are being attacked, whose lives are being destroyed, whose families are being broken up? Whose country is being ruined again and again and again by these racists who consider their country to be Israel. And it won't stop with Lebanon. They also believe that Syria, northern Saudi Arabia, and Iraq belong to them. And they intend to take them. And they are in the process of taking them right now. And people have to wake up to that fact. And there has to be an outrage at the biased media coverage and at the monsters we have in our government lying to us about what is happening and trying to provoke the American people to be hateful people, to be racist people, to be intolerant people. This is exactly what the Zionist Jews did to the German people by corrupting their youth to make them hateful Nazis. They are making the American people hateful Nazis who hate the Muslims, who are in fact wonderful people with an ancient heritage, an ancient culture, and a love for peace, and a love for harmony, and a love for humanity. And this is terrible.
Well, you know something, I'm going to mirror that because I know that to be true firsthand. I have had many experiences in the Muslim community here in France. You can't, if you live in France, you know many Muslims, and their hospitality is legendary.
Absolutely. It always has been. It always has been. And not only their hospitality, their culture is wonderful. And it's a benefit to mankind to maintain these ancient, wonderful cultures. Why are these crazy Israelis destroying all this culture and all these lives? Why do they hate these people?
Here's what I'd like. We're coming to the end of this particular segment here, and we're going to do others, Chris. We're going to put together a series of investigative discussions. I'll talk to you privately about what we can develop in each show. But this was a great first foray into this information. Now, what I would like to ask you to do is maybe do that a couple of words so we can put them up on our site in a written form about the Ezekiel passages and why they're important, and maybe Eric will format it into an article that we can use to accompany this particular segment we've done. And as I told you, I've got other plans for other information to go out in some different ways. We're going to be creative about getting this word out as best we can. I mean, you know, I'm not a magic guy. I got a computer over here and a fan to keep me cool and a hope. And we can do this though. This is the kind of
part. Other people have to get off their asses and realize that their lives, their property, and their futures are also on the line. And they have to spread the word that these Israelis are monsters. And that these people who are being bombed don't deserve it. They're human beings, just as we are human beings. They have lives. They have families. They love their families. They want to live in peace, and they are being attacked.
And I'm going to remind everybody that 100 million people were murdered by these megalomaniac suicidal murderers, homicidal murderers in the last century. And if you think this is going to be a century that makes the last one look like nothing.
These are cowards who have a huge nuclear arsenal, who are launching artillery attacks and air attacks on defenseless people and blaming those people for the fact that they're attacking them. That is vile. That is just vile. And we have to realize that they are setting us up to be next. They did it to the Germans, they did it to the Russians, and the Americans are next. And on that happy note...
Christopher, we're going to work together. We're going to get this stuff out. Please, make yourself available to getting some more work done, because you've done a wonderful book. You want to give everybody your website and your book name so people can go there and read some of the research and have the details, please.
My website is www.jewishracism.com, JEWISHRACISM, no spaces, no underscores, no dashes, JewishRacism.com. The title of the book is The Manufacture and Sale of Saint Einstein. And Einstein was a racist Zionist, and the process by which he was made an international celebrity makes for a very good case study of racist Zionism and Judaism. And I explore both those in the book in a very extensive and, I believe, well-documented fashion.
And well, we're going to take the research you've done, and we're going to marry it together with current events, and we're going to forward a message to the world that can't be turned away from. And I want to thank you for coming on The French Connection with me today here, Christopher. And please, we've got lots more coming with Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Christopher has been researching for a very long time, and if you've not heard him before, you can go to our archives and hear other things that Chris and I have done over the months about these same subjects. But it's more urgent than ever for everyone to understand that they're pushing their plan forward, and they've made a lot of progress in the last few months to get this sickness instilled upon the rest of the rest of the plan instilled on humanity. And boy, their plans for us are horrible. So until the next installment, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. This is Darryl Bradford Smith saying be well. Bye bye now, Chris.